I want to share with you a message called Striking Christ with Unbelief. Striking Christ with Unbelief. If you turn in your Bible to Exodus chapter 17, we're going to read the first few verses there together. Lord, I just pray today, Lord God, as I deliver this word, Jesus, I just want your name to be glorified, Lord. And I want the hearers, Lord, to be touched so deeply, Lord, that we all move to a different place of faith. That, Lord God, we will not, as the hymn writer said, no more do we doubt thee, glorious Prince of Life. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that your name will be glorified. Help me, Lord. Holy Spirit, help me in my weakness. Lord, you know, Lord, I had to fight, Lord, a lot of things, Lord, to even stand up here this morning. But I give you all the praise and glory, Lord. And let your name just testify of your greatness, Lord, in every life and in every heart. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Then all the congregation of the children of Israel set out on their journey from the wilderness of Sin, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped at Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore, the people contended with Moses and said, "Give us water that we may drink." So Moses said to them, "Why do you contend with me? Why do you tempt the Lord?" And the people thirsted there for the water. And the people complained against Moses and said, "Why is it that you have brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, "What shall I do with this people? For they are ready to stone me." And the Lord said to Moses, "Go on before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel. Also take in your hand your rod, which you struck the river, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock of Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it, that the people may drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. So he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the contention of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord amongst us or not?" Now here we have God's people set free from the slavery of Egypt. They were there for over 400 years. The Lord prophesied that, told that to their forefather Abraham. He said there was going to come a time and a season where your offspring, the nation that would come from you, would find themselves in bondage for 400 plus years, but God was going to bring them out. And we know the account of the great Exodus, how the incredible, mighty hand of God set forth a great plan to bring his people out of a land and into a promised land. You see the great story of redemption. God calls a man. Out of a man, he brings a nation. Out of a nation, he brings him to a homeland. And out of that homeland, it becomes a beachhead to bring the Savior of the world to win this world for God. Amen. And so they saw 10 incredible plagues. They saw, you know, the slaying of the firstborn of every male Egyptian. They saw the deliverances of God. Friends, they saw miracles that you and I would have, I mean, let's be honest, we would have circumnavigated the globe multiples of times if we thought these things were going on today, just to see them and build their faith. But they had been men and women that testified to the great power of God. They had seen, you know, incredible things. It just goes to show you that seeing isn't always believing. Amen. You know, 10 lepers get healed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Only one came back to give thanks. It's amazing, isn't it, that it's not really about manifestation. Friends, it's about understanding and believing in the character of Almighty God. And that's the journey of every Christian, to come to a place of reliance upon the character and the word of God. He is our God, and his words are yes and amen. And now here, after such an incredible crossing of the Red Sea, the parting of the Red Sea, where the children of Israel walked over on dry ground, and Pharaoh and his armies pursue them, and we know the history stories that they pursued them into the very belly of the Red Sea, and God caused the waters to close over, and Pharaoh and his entire army were lost in the Red Sea. I actually watched a bit of a documentary recently, and someone was saying that they had found the very spot where they believe that this event happened, and at the very bottom of this Red Sea is chariot wheels and armory and helmets and shields of a great many amount of people. In actual fact, the same story was recorded in a lot of Egyptian history. Not that you'd like to record such a story, it wouldn't be very flattering to you, but I want to tell you, friends, the Bible is the word of God, and it's true, and amen. Amen. We can trust the word of God today. And now, after all this incredible exposure to the power of God, prophecy is being fulfilled. wondrous works of God have been displayed, exposed, and they have the pillar and they have the cloud guiding them and guarding them. And now they come to one of the first tests very early on into this journey. They come to a place called Rephidim. Now, Rephidim, the meaning of the word Rephidim is resting place. It's amazing. There's anything but rest here. They are very irate because they come to a place there's no water. And very quickly, I don't know what you're like, but you know, have you ever gone a day without food? Have you ever gone maybe a meal or two without food? And by the time you get to supper time, your manners are gone. You're aggressive. You're bumping your wife out of the way. And, you know, and that's just a little sort of incidental. I didn't get to eat lunch today. So, and we can all begin to get a little bit exasperated, you know. If you want to see me exasperate, watch me fast. Usually my breakthrough is near the end when I can eat again. I'm just saying. The rest of you are far more spiritual than I. And so we begin to see here very serious things happening. The children are dying of thirst. The oxen are dying of thirst. The people are dying of thirst. And very quickly, they begin to forget the incredible power of God. They begin to forget who exactly is amongst them. They go to a place and there's nothing. Resting place. They seem to be experiencing anything but rest. And actually, that is great unrest. I want to tell you that sometimes God has to take you to a place of great personal chaos before you can really understand his rest. It's the truth. Other than that, you only have a theory. Amen. Well, I know what it is to suffer. Well, you will. Because all those who seek to live godly lives in Christ Jesus will suffer. And the Apostle Peter says, arm yourself with that fact. We are stepping into a time, I believe, very much, as you all know, praying men and women all over the world are feeling the burden that we are now entering in the last days. Life as we know it has changed irrevocably. It has changed forever, friends. The United States has changed forever. The world we live in has changed forever. When men call evil good and good evil, I'm telling you, you know then you're coming to a very point in history. It's a time where God will have to show up, amen. It's a time where, you know, human arguments and human proclamation, it can hold back the tide for so long, but it comes a time where God himself must fight the battle. Amen. God commands Moses to walk ahead of the people. Take some of the elders, take Aaron, and take the staff that you struck the Red Sea with, and you're to strike the rock. Now, we all know this is a picture of Christ. The word strike is naka in the Hebrew. It means to strike, to beat, to cast forth, to indeed kill, to slaughter, to murder, to punish, to slay, to give stripes, and to surely wound. And so he goes to that rock and he strikes that rock. The Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians that he says that rock followed him. That rock was Christ. Interesting, I remember many years ago doing research in this rock. The Jewish rabbis in their folklore believed that the rock which followed did follow them, and it would move when the children of Israel moved. It moved like a swarm of bees, they said, moving over a mountain or over a hill. And so they had a belief that this was an actual rock that followed them wherever they went, and water proceeded from it. The children of Israel were brought to this place by God. Thank God when he brings you to a place of extreme irritation where you have no solutions. You have no answers. It is dry. It is arid. The skies feel like brass. The sky has nothing to give you. The earth has nothing to satisfy you. Everything is dry and death is all around you. God calls that place Rephidim, resting place. Amazing. My ways are not your ways. I can tell you the resting place to me is down on the beach with a parasol and nice blue waters. But God says, no, my resting place is where there is no answers. There's no other source. There's no other life. And I'm going to bring you on a journey. And this journey is going to bring you to a place where your faith will grow. And your faith will move to a new level. And that's what God is trying to accomplish in you and I when it says the just shall live by faith. That faith would grow. Peter When the Lord came to me and said, you could deny me 3 times, but I have prayed that your faith will hold. And that is the test of our time, friends. That when the irritations, when the attacks come upon us, when things seem very dry, and when we come into the house, and even the great house of Times Square Church, and we become critical of the style or the songs or this or that, it's the same, or you know what it's like? Overfamiliarity can breed contempt. How we can so easily point the finger, get irritated. You may be going through a dry time. Be very careful that you don't be pointing your finger. Be very careful that you don't take your irritation out upon the men and women of God that are around you, beside you, in front of you, on the platform here. Very easy to do. God calls where you are right now resting place, because there's nothing you can do but rest. You cannot make it happen. You cannot force the hand of God. You cannot do your rain dance and bring it down. You cannot do your Pentecostal moves and all your white-fisted behavior. You can't quote all the scriptures you want. At the end of the day, God will do what God's going to do. Amen. Amen. They were in a place of extreme thirst. You know that humanity is in a condition of thirst. Give a man all that this world has to offer, and he will still be thirsty. He will still be unsatisfied, friends. Jesus in John 7, 37 to 39, he says, he stands up on the last day of the great feast and he cried out, the Bible says, with a loud voice, he said, if anyone is thirsty, much louder than that, let me tell you. I could have been very undignified and really screamed it out. But he, with a loud voice, let me tell you, they had to raise their voices in Solomon's colonnade with thousands of people milling out and milling in at that feast. And he cries out, if anyone is thirsty, let him come unto me and drink. And whoever believes on me, as the scriptures have said, rivers of living water will flow from within him. And Jesus here is referring right back to this event in Exodus chapter 17. This is a parallel he knows he's speaking in to this very historical time. John chapter 2, you know, I love the Gospel of John because John steps it up a little bit for me, because everything that John sees, in, as we would call miracles, John calls signs. See, a miracle is an event that we can see miraculous, but this is a sign that speaks of something far higher than just a miracle. Interesting, when you read the Gospel of John, you'll begin to see that. Wedding Feast of Cana wasn't just a miracle, it was a sign of something deeper. It was a sign saying that what the false religion could not give you, God will give you. Fill up those pots again. They couldn't bring that woman and that man out of their potential embarrassment, but I will meet the need. Hallelujah. John chapter 2, he is the true temple, destroyed this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up. John chapter 3, he is the true brazen serpent. John chapter 6, he is the bread of heaven. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead, but I am the bread that came down from heaven. John 7, he is the true spiritual rock. Woo, now we're getting there. John 8, he is the true light-giving cloud. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And Jesus to the woman at the well, Samaritan woman that most people would have just passed by, a sinner on the wrong side of God, on the wrong religion, a half-breed, someone that had mixed up the religion of Israel and paganized some of it and defiled it. They were the most low life to the Jew, but Jesus has time for everybody, amen. And actually, in fact, when I begin to see history and eschatology, I understand one thing, that God so loves the world, not just Israel. He loves Israel too, but he loves the world, friends. The plan of God is the world, the seed of Adam, amen. And no matter who you are today, you are one of the seeds of Adam. And that means he loves you. And he loves me. You may be sitting in this auditorium today, first time, maybe a friend brought you here. And you've never felt love before, but I want to tell you, there's someone who loves you. And this woman, sitting at a well, she's a multiple adulterer, multiple marriage failures. She's now living in fornication. And he brings her the gospel. And he said, if you knew who was speaking to you, you would ask. And I want you to remember that word ask. Say ask. Thank you. You would ask him and he would give you living water. You would ask him. You have not because you don't ask. There's so many Christians today, they think about the problem and they think about the solution. But they never ask. They wished for change, but they never ask. It goes on in their head. And I even see people at altars. And I'm thinking to myself, are they just taking a lucky shot at this? You know, maybe something will happen. Or are they there to really in faith come in and ask God, who promises to give the Holy Spirit up and out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water? We need to ask ourselves that when we respond to God, are we truly believing that when we come forward, when we respond to the Spirit, that we will receive what God has given to us, that we will receive the answer to our prayer? James talks about a double-minded man. He's unstable in all his ways. Don't let that man think for one second he'll receive anything. See, the Christian has to come from a point of view of being convinced that he's coming to that rock and there's water in that rock. He has to be convinced that what happened 2,000 years ago in Calvary hasn't changed. That river's still flowing. That the love of God is still the same. Nothing has changed it. Nothing has dulled it down. Nothing has blocked that river. Sometimes we think as we journey on in God, it's been a long time, 2,000 years. Maybe God has changed some bit towards this generation. This is such a wicked generation. This is such an evil generation. Listen, they were all wicked generations. They were all evil generations. The world that Jesus came into was a violent evil. A world of terrible discrimination. Slavery, brutality, rapes, pillaging. It was the law of the jungle, friends. It was a brutal world. And he came in and he loved that world. Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. What a great God. And so they struck that rock. Moses struck that rock. And water came out for over a million men and women and children and livestock. And it's an abundance, friends. There's an abundance in Christ today. There is more than you can ask or even think. What if only we could rise in faith. If only we could get beyond ourselves and get connected with the living head, Jesus Christ again, and be convinced of only one truth. There is many truths, but there's a truth that's above every truth. Hallelujah. There is many realities, but there's one greater reality. Amen. Hallelujah. You can say, this is my problem, but I want to tell you there's a greater solution to your problem. Hallelujah. And so the water began to flow. And so God, in his mercy, gave a blessing. And that water flowed, and that water flowed. He was as if he was trying to say to them, why do you doubt me? Why do you constantly, have I not through 10 incredible miracles show forth my kindness and mercy and power and provision for your life? Have I not extended you a revelation that no other nation on the earth or on the planet has ever even understood or seen? And I want to tell you this morning, church, and all those who are listening to this message, has God not already revealed to you his love shed abroad in your heart? Has he not already poured in the Holy Spirit when you came to him, when that first day when you bowed a knee and the Holy Spirit of God came in and flooded your heart and flooded your mind and brought everything of God into you and brought every possibility of the walk and life of Jesus into your life? The seed of Christ came in, and with that seed came every possibility. Did he not send his Holy Ghost into you? And everything is possible. But now I want you to turn to Numbers chapter 20. This is 38 years later. 38 years later, my friends. And they're back at the same place. Talk about history repeating itself. Now, they ended up being there for 38 years because of their own belief. And when push came to shove, yeah, after all the incredible revelations of God, and I can see how often we as Christians take the grace of God and bring it to no effect. The grace and the mercy of God that's poured upon our own personal lives. Here we are 2,000 years later, and we are still just like the children of Israel. We come to difficult times in our life, and we're straight away back with the sort of, well, where is God now? Have you heard that coming out of your mouth? Have you heard that immaturity being spoken around you by so many Christians? It's an immaturity, it's an immature faith. And I want to challenge you today because we are in a world today that, you know, friends, every man and woman has to start rising. They have to. We are in full contact spiritual warfare with spiritual darknesses that are in the heavenly places, friends. And there needs to be a breakthrough for us to move away from this constant unbelieving spirit that rises up within us. And here we are 38 years later, back in the same place, the same irritation, the people are thirsty, there's no water. And the Lord spoke to Moses, verse 7, saying, take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, gather the congregation together and speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water. Thus you shall bring water for them out of the rock and give drink to the congregation and their animals. So Moses took the rod from the Lord, from before the Lord, as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock. And he said to them, hear now, you rebels. Must be an Irish people. I'm not joking. Must we bring water for you out of this rock? Then Moses lifted his hand and he struck the rock twice with his rod, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation and their animals drank. But you see, Christ was struck once. The righteous for the unrighteous, so that he could bring us to God. And now he simply says, you ask of me. But there was something here that was unbelieving in the heart of even Moses. And simply, under the new covenant, under the grace that God has given us in Christ Jesus, we can come boldly to the throne of grace in time of need. Hallelujah. And make our petitions known to the Lord. And speak our hearts to him. Amen. And we have to grasp that because I'm telling you, friends, the only thing that you will have in the end times is a voice. Because the enemy may take your wealth. He may take your homes, your jobs. We are facing a time of great calamity. But it cannot take that voice that God's given you. Amen. They're not allowed to take that. They're not allowed to take that testimony. Christ was struck once. Moses was to speak. And friends, in the new covenant, we don't need to be coming back and striking Christ. Christ died once, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he may bring us to God. He won an open heaven. We don't no longer have to approach a closed door. We are not knocking on heaven's door. I used to sing that stupid song years ago. Bob Dylan, Bobby, he's still trying to knock because he's never really come to that full assurance that he has opened the door for us. Speak. He was struck once. Out of him came living water. From his side came water and blood. The water of Christ's salvation are free and plentiful. He says in Isaiah 55 and 1, he says, oh, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. Come and buy without price. Amen. But Moses, something happened even in Moses. The Lord spoke to Moses, verse 12, he said, and Aaron, he said, because you did not believe me. Moses thought maybe some drama was needed. Maybe altering his voice and doing a few chicken walks in the pulpit. Trying to drum up. Just, I know there's another group of people drummed up emotion. There were the 450 prophets of Baal and Asherah. Trying to work ourselves up to emotionalism. Maybe thinking that somehow we need to give God a help out here. Maybe we need to chew our skills and visionary audio-visual technographs, smoke machines, and God knows what. We can stoke faith in the people. And God says, I don't want that anymore. I want you to come asking. I want you to come believing. And I believe, friends, this is what the Holy Spirit wants to bring. He wants to bring us to a maturity in our faith. I think it's so disappointing. I have been, people in my own congregation for many years would come in and they'd have times, and sometimes it is serious needs, and I would never want to belittle the seriousness to the need and the trauma they're going through. But when I hear things like, where is God, Pastor? Talk about striking Christ with unbelief. Where is God now? Talk about striking him again with unbelief. And how many times do we strike him with our unbelief? How many times, friends, when he has given you concrete reassurances of his presence, his power, and his provision? How many times when he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you? He said, I've loved you with an everlasting love. How many times I don't feel the love of God? In Malachi's time, chapter 1 and verse 2, he said, I have loved you with an everlasting love, but you retort, well, how have you loved us? Talking about an unbelieving spirit, it becomes infectious to a congregation. Just because we go through a dry time. Well, if we die, we die. That's what I love about Job. At the end of the day, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's why he's immortalized in the scripture, because he found the truth. God could bring his kids back to life if he wanted to do that. Those Hebrew children, when they walked into that fire, whether our God delivers us or he does not deliver, we will not bow. This is it. We will trust him in the heat of a furnace. No more doubting, no more going left or right and saying, oh, well, maybe God's not with us. He's always with you. I will never abandon you. A mother chick may abandon her hens, but her chicks, a mother hen will abandon her chicks. But I will not abandon you, says the Lord. That's called jet lag, by the way. You want to try it sometime? I love the hymn writer, John Wesley, when he says, no more we doubt thee, glorious Prince of life. Life is naught without thee. Aid us in our strife. Make us more like conquerors. Through thy deathless love, bring us safe through Jordan to our home above. Thine be the kingdom. Hallelujah. Risen conquering Son. Endless is the victory. Thine own death has won. Will you move to a different place? Will you move? Right now, it might be comfortable for you, but you may be in Rephidim. And if you're not in Rephidim, you will soon be there. I just want to warn you. This is a journey. The world is going into dark, difficult times. We are in the world, so we are going to go into those times. Let's hope that some people's eschatology is correct and we're all gone before it all goes badly wrong. But I don't care about that. Eschatology has never been something that's really been up my street. And all I know one thing is whatever strife I find myself in, I want to be found believing. Amen. Believing the provision, the power, and presence of Almighty God. Struck once, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he may bring us to God. Ask me. Now this is what he says. Ask. Ask me and I'll give you the nations as your inheritance. Psalm 2. Ask me for rain in the time of the latter rain and I will give you flashing clouds. Zechariah 8 or 9, I can't remember which, but you know the scripture. We strike Christ in our unbelief, friends, when he says, you're forgiven. And you say, I don't feel forgiven. It doesn't matter about your feelings. He says, I'm forgiven. When he says, you're accepted, I don't feel very welcome. It doesn't matter about your feelings. You're welcome. You might be here today and say, you know, nobody shook my hand. Nobody, you know what, friends, that's humans. We will all let you down. Pastors, most of all, because if you look to us as being your source, you're in big trouble. We only point you to the source, to the rock that is higher than I, amen, that follows us through the wilderness. And now when we come to a dry place, we go to that rock and we don't beat it anymore with unbelief. We don't go up there with some sort of stick and say, oh, maybe I have to do something here. We ask, and we ask in faith, and that water begins to flow, friends, and that presence begins to fill our lives. Hallelujah. We don't strike them with our unbelief. We don't come up with immature statements. We need to censor our talk, amen. I said we need to censor our talk. We need to put a hand over our mouth. when we get to places when we're irritated and we're in dry places, we need to learn how to shut up and be still and know that He is God. Hallelujah. We need to turn to ourselves and look in the mirror and say, I am loved, I am forgiven, I am accepted, I am provided for. The Word of God says it. And if I die here and reap for them, it's the will of God. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray it all the time. And then all of a sudden God says, I'm going to show men and women how the saints actually die. But precious in my sight is your death. And you would glorify me in that way. And we'll all go that way someday. Either by death or by rapture, most of us probably by the first, but it doesn't matter. To be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. Hallelujah. None of us like to hear a bad report. None of us are Christian sadomasochists. Hit me again, I like it. It's not that, friends. But when we find ourselves in times of trouble, and when we find ourselves in dry and arid places, we don't strike our Savior with unbelief. Oh no, sir. He was wounded once. The head that was once crowned with thorns. The back that they ripped apart with the cat o' nine tails. The sword that pierced his side. The nails that pierced his feet and his hands. The face that was despised and brutalized for our sin. So that the chastisement of our peace was laid upon him, and that we have gained access to the throne of grace because of that precious Savior. Friends, no more. We have to go into 2016 a little bit different. This is the last Sunday of the first month. I don't know if you've wavered in your New Year's resolutions and in your determinations, but I promise you this. If you let this revelation hit your life, that you don't need to beat Jesus, you don't need to doubt him, you need to completely believe him. You are better led than what you realize. Even if you find yourself in a pit, God is with you. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When he says forgiven, when he says accepted, when he comforts us with his word, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Don't ever retort and say, where are you, God? Don't ever retort and say, how have you loved me? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Friends, we should finish the argument right now. Whatever controversy is going on in your heart and your spirit, you lay it down and say, I know he loves me. When Vicky brought that song up this morning, he loves me. Oh, I began to weep. I began to weep. I remember 3 years ago, I was out in Kenya. We go to Kenya every year with wonderful ministry woman in this church. Tammy Shannon has a ministry out there called The Smallest Seed. My goodness me, you want to see what God's doing in that ministry. Phenomenal. I was out in the middle of the Maasai Mara. We had opened a church 2 years ago out there. And I was burdened because at that stage my dad's cancer was started. And I get a phone call. This is 2 or 3 years back. I get a phone call out in the middle of the Mara. Came in. A text message came in. At that time, after treatments, my dad got the all clear. And I began to just weep in the back of a rickety old van going through washed out roads. There was no roads. It was just backwoods, bumps and humps for 4.5 hours. I like this. But it was just something. Because as a minister, I used to pray. I pray for others. I pray for people's needs. I pray for other people's cancers. And sometimes I can believe for everybody else. I really can. I feel like I expel all my energy in other people. And when it came to my own, and my own father, and my own answers, and my own, and I just felt he loved me. Have you ever just felt he loves you? It just hit me. I know that cancer came back 3 years later. We're fighting a fight now. But it was just a revelation of that love of God, that he loved me in the middle of that trial, in the middle of that desert, in the middle of that dry place. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Never say to him, never doubt him, never strike him. For heaven's sake, the Romans beat him enough for sin. The chastisement was laid upon him. My prayer for you, and this for myself and my own congregation and everyone that's listening, that as we come into 2016, that we rise in our faith. Peter, Satan has sought to sift you, but I have prayed for you that your faith will be strong. Do not let that faith slip and wound Christ with your unbelief. When he's given you a word, hold on to it, amen. When he says, I'll see you through and I'll bring you through. When he says, you're going to the other side, we're going to make it to the other side, amen. It may look unlikely at times. The journey may end abruptly. We think we've got off at the wrong stop. Let me tell you, God is with you. You're not getting off at the wrong stop. You're getting off at God's stop, amen. You can't kill that sort of a man, that sort of a woman. They've already died. They've died to everything other than the promises of God and the word of God. And I'm telling you, friends, if we can move and grow in our faith out of our immaturities of questioning and wanting qualified all the time, everything that we're doing, and move away from the insecurities of being some sort of insecure marriage, we're always constantly needing this, I'm with you. And move to understanding that when he made his vow to me, he said, I will never leave you. Your people will be my people. Your house will be my house. That's your children. And wherever you go also, I will go with you. Can you move back to that place if you have slipped from that place? Will you let God, the Holy Spirit, as you are speaking from a dry place, or even if you're in a very well-watered and luscious place this morning, will you, in your mind, say, oh God, I know tests will come for me. It's not that we want to look down and ruin the moment for you. But we understand what life is like. It's always changing. But there's one thing that never changes. He's the never-changing God. There is no shadow or turning with him. My life is so different today in so many respects. I have to wear these now. I'm still too cheap to get the prescriptions. These are $250 off the shelf. My wife says I look like Glenn Beck with them on, but... And she said, you look very clumsy up there pushing this, and then there's handprints and thumbprints all over the thing. Everything changes. But I'm the God that never changes. I brought you out before. I sustained you in many wildernesses. Do you think I have brought you this far to disappoint you? Do you think that he's brought you this far to disappoint you? I go to prepare a place for you. Hallelujah. And I'm coming back and I'm taking you to be with me. Hallelujah. What a God we serve. What a mighty God we have. What promises are ours. Yes and amen. I'm going to ask you to come join me at an altar. The whole house can come, because I'll be honest, it's a time of the season that we need to increase our faith. We need to move away from this double-mindedness, because we're never going to come into the promises of God. And Moses taught us that lesson. That striking Christ with unbelief kept him out of the full promises. And many of us here, God has promises, but our unbelief is keeping us back from them. There comes a time you say, God, I'm going to push through unbelief. I'm going to stop believing you again. And I believe it's a battle of faith and unbelief, the whole journey from here on is. You're on your way to heaven, but I'm telling you, you can be miserable, lacking peace, lacking joy, lacking fulfillment on that journey. God help you, what an awful place to be at. Moses was on that journey, couldn't get all the promises. God took him to heaven anyhow. But I'd hate for you and me to miss out on living this life of faith. You know, friends, some of you will see miracles come through your life. Some of you will, no doubt about it. Some of you will lay hands on the sick and it will recover you. Some of you, friends, it'll just be like you, just be like a pillar. You won't realize your testimony is affecting others around you, and they will go out and do great things for God. Hallelujah. You can come right now. I'm going to invite you to come. Stand, church. Make it easy for the people to get out. Let's come to an altar and say 2016 is a year that we are going to press in faith. Amen. It's a year that we are not going to strike Christ anymore with unbelief. It's a year that we are not going to let the enemy rob us of our inheritance. Hallelujah. Our children, our families, our communities. Oh, hallelujah. You keep coming. We're going to worship. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We've walked many miles with him. And now he's asking us to walk that extra mile today. Hold on a bit longer, friends. Trust him. Trust him in your trial. We've come too far. It was 70 at one time with him. 58 of them turned away. 58 of them. They didn't turn away from the ministry of Pastor Carter Conlon in Times Square Church. They turned away from the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And 12 remained. And Peter stood. He said, where are we going to go? You alone have the words of eternal life. And we know we're at an altar today because we need strength. We need our faith to increase. We need to stop coming out with immaturities towards Christ and wounding him and questioning his love and questioning his provision and questioning his care and his kindness. We have to move away from that, friends. We know that today that there is believers all over this world that love God probably greater than most of us, and they're facing epic trials, beheadings, tortures, beatings. And I guarantee, even for them there, and they know this, they remain there for a rest for the people of God. And that rest is entered in by faith. Whether you are in abundance or in poverty, the rest comes wherever you are. It doesn't matter about the circumstances, you see, friends, because they are in the worst circumstances and they have a rest and they have a faith that endures. And we have to move to that place because it is coming down our road, friends. And unless we move out of an immature faith and into a mature walk with the Lord, and I believe we can simply come today and ask him, Lord, increase my faith. Lord, help me not to doubt thee. I want you to pray right where you in, Lord, and speak it from your mouth. Lord, make your prayer to him. Close your eyes, open your eyes, whatever works for you, but speak to the Lord. Lord, increase my faith. Lord, I don't want to doubt you. Forgive me. Forgive me for wounding you. Forgive me, Lord Jesus, Lord, for asking where you are when you are where you always are. You are seated on the throne. You are building your church. You are living within me. And God, I come to you this 2016. Repeat this to the Lord. I come to you this 2016. And Lord, I want to move, Lord God, in a new dimension with a greater peace and a greater security and a greater revelation of knowing Christ within me, the hope of glory. And so, Father, I give again what's left of my future. I give it to you. I don't know what it entails, but you do. Guide my feet. Guide my eyes. Oh, God, my thoughts. Let me be led by the Spirit. And Spirit, if you bring me as you brought Jesus into a wilderness, bring me out in your time. And give me supernatural strength to sustain. We love you, Jesus. We commit to you afresh. We give you this coming year. And whatever other years you give us, we greet these challenges, Lord. We greet them in the power of your might, O God. And with your securities and your cast iron guarantees to us that you will never, and you have never, leave us or forsake us. So we stop doubting you now, Lord. Lord, I'm believing for my children. I'm believing for my marriage. I'm believing for my father's health. I am believing, Lord Jesus, for revival to come to Ireland. I'm believing for revival to come to America. I'm believing, Lord God, that you will turn back the tide of drugs, and immorality, filth, and violence. I believe, oh God, that you've promised in the end days you will pour out your Spirit. And so, God, I raise my hands in faith, and I want you to raise in faith, and I want you to start praising him. Because I want to tell you, if you start praising him, you are saying you agree with this. Amen. Start praising him. Maybe, Vicky, can you lead us in a song that just praises the name of Jesus? Hallelujah. God bless you. God bless you all. Have a wonderful 2016. Full of faith, full of courage, full of the love and the presence of God. God bless you. Hallelujah.